Hey, it's Bill Simmons. Did you know I've had my podcast for 15 years? Do you know that it is the most downloaded sports podcast of all time? Did you know I have guests from the sports world, from the culture world, people who work for The Ringer, people outside The Ringer, celebrities, experts, you name it. It's on my podcast 3 times a week, late Sunday night, late Tuesday night, late Thursday night, the Bill Simmons podcast. Check it out on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Righty's House. I hope you are all safe and well. Today, we're going to round up some of last night's football, including Sheffield Wednesday's dramatic comeback. West Ham getting into their first European final in 47 years. Come on, you guys. Then, as it's approaching the finale, we're going to break down one of my favourite shows, Succession. And I'm joined by Flo Lloyd Hughes, Ryan Hunt, and... Yo, Chris Ryan.
Chris
Ryan is my guy. This is the guy who looks out for me when I go to his town, man. When I go to America, this is the guy.
This is my Philadelphia brother right here.
This is my bro, man. I was talking about Eagles, and every time, like, people saw me in my Eagles top, and I've got my Eagles, like, my hat and everything. Man, I get some shit, bro.
Yeah.
People don't like me now, man.
No, but there's people who love you, and that's the point. You know what I mean? Like, the Eagles, like, are divisive.
I didn't realize the Eagles, the fans, like, because I just feel very drawn towards them. Obviously, I watched the film Invincible.
Yeah.
With our man, Mark Wahlberg. And since then, bam, I loved it. I love the fact that they done that for somebody, just took somebody off the street, gave him a trial, and he made it. But I just loved it. And then, obviously, we went there to do the Premier League. But then, man, when I see how people say how horrible the Eagles fans are, I said, I love them even more, bro. I'm an Eagle.
Eagles fan and an Arsenal fan.
So what's happening, man? So Chris, what's happening? Welcome, bro.
Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be fun because we're going to do Succession, but we're going to do football. And those are two of my favorite things.
Nice one.
And your Righty's House debut, because you've done Stadio with Ryan.
Yeah. But this is the first time in the house. I can't believe it.
Thanks for coming in.
IRL, because did you do that Stadio USA game remote?
That was remote.
That was very much remote. Yeah.
That's when you went all patriotic.
That's right.
You were sick. I did listen to that pod, and it was so funny because, I think Ryan and Musa were, like, understandably a bit like, not a classic. Yeah. No, not
and I was
classic.
Just like, we did it!
And you were just like,
and he was so hyped.
Let's fucking run. Yeah.
So that was a draw, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
It was so funny. It was so funny to listen to that. Anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
Talk about draw, and it didn't end up like that. You have to say Sheffield Wednesday, bro. That kind of game, and watching that kind of game and seeing a game like that, like, I guarantee you, right, every single footballer will have tuned into that game because it's something that does not happen. You do not see us once in lifetime kind of
it's
stuff.
It's unbelievable.
I swear to God, it was so, I miss that. That kind of vibe. That's what it's about, man.
I mean, I don't know how you can actually miss that because it happens so infrequently.
Oh, like, yeah.
For those who have been under a,
please,
a rock.
Yes.
Third tier of English football, the League One playoff semi-final. Sheffield Wednesday were 4-0 down from the first leg to Peterborough. And drew, well, I say drew 4-0 in the second, 1-4-0 in normal time, yeah. Went to extra time. Peterborough took the lead again, and then Sheffield Wednesday equalised again.
Wild.
And then they won 5-3 on penalties.
And this is, but this is why the playoffs are so epic.
The playoffs
it's
are
just,
amazing.
It can only happen in the playoffs. Yeah. And they've only been around since like the late 90s, right? So
we came up from with Palace.
Midnight.
We came back from Palace 89. Yeah. We came up. But
it's
remember,
just it was, nothing like it.
No, and I've not had a feeling like it. But no, Flo, go on, say what you're saying.
Well,
about.
I was just going to say, I think it just kind of, it's such a unique thing. And the championship one has become this sort of like,
of course,
you know,
the
fifth,
money. Oh,
whatever, £100 million game.
Richest game in the world.
But yeah. I think we forget also about League One and League Two and how amazing those moments are. And the National League playoff, which that Chesterfield Notts County game was another epic at Wembley.
Yeah.
That was amazing, went to penalties. So it is very unique and special. And I think it's one of the best bits about English football without also getting patriotic there. But I think it is unique. Like, there's nothing like it.
Does it make you wish there was a little bit of playoffs in Premier League?
I don't think I'd go get involved in the top end. I think to come into the Premier League.
Yeah.
Or for you mean for a relegation like they do in Germany.
Yeah. So for instance,
actually at the moment, because everyone's vying to get into the Champions League, you could do the Champions. So the winners are the winners, but then you could have the rest of the Champions League spots done by playoff.
I like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And just chuck the top at the rest just, of the top half in
people,
there.
Because that would kind of help, because you'll get a team that are unbelievable all the way up to the, and then all of a sudden, for whatever, it kind of drops off and they go into a position where, oh, we're out of it now. I think that's a massive, massive loss for them.
But that's kind of what happened to Wednesday, because they finished on 96 points, finished third. They were top of the table, had a crazy unbeaten record. Darren Moore picked up multiple Manager of the Month awards, and then they just went on a really bad run. And Plymouth and Ipswich overtook them. So I think most fans, especially after that first leg result, had kissed goodbye to any chance of
and
going.
And they were hammering, my bro. Hammering.
I mean, that's props to Darren Moore.
Props to Darren Moore.
Well, right now in the NBA, you know, the Miami Heat had to win a playoff game to get into the playoffs.
Yes.
They had to win the play-in game. And now they are in the semi, basically the conference finals. They're in this equivalent of the Champions League semifinals and playing against Boston. And I think they are one game up on Boston.
Wow.
But it would be like if a team that almost got relegated was also about to go play in the Champions League semifinal.
I like the fact that because we get all the excitement and the, are we going to get into the Champions League? Are we going to get into the top four? I want them to have the equivalent in all the leagues in respects of players at every level of the game having at some stage to deal with that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, not just like, oh, we're going down. Oh, we're going up. There should be always something to fight for, no matter how poor you are, how badly you are in respects of the whole season. But then you get it going, and then you get into a position where you're getting it going, and you could get a chance to stay in the league, or you could get a chance to go into the next league.
Do you know what I think they should do with the four Champions League spots? What? One for the winner of the Premier League and one for whoever wins each tier below it. That's what they should do.
Send them.
Can I ask you something, though? Because I did James Alcott's podcast, The Ripple Effect, that Ringer also does, and we were talking about second legs of Champions League semifinals.
Yes.
And I was wondering, have you ever been in the second leg of a cup tie where you were down a few goals and you guys were like, let's just let it rip.
No, not a few goals. It was the Cup Winners' Cup, Paris Saint-Germain. And we scored out there. I scored out there.
Funny that.
And then David Ginola scored again. That was like George Weah was in that team, Ginola, an unbelievable team. But we weren't down.
Uh-huh.
With that kind of game, with that 4-0 up in the first leg.
Yeah.
It should be over. Darren Ferguson's probably not going to sleep for a while. And I think that any of those managers, even though Darren Moore's got to, he's won it, and he's going to have sleepless nights about what just happened, man.
Yeah.
Darren Ferguson's going to have, what? 5-4 in extra time and we still end up losing?
I know.
I really like Darren Moore's interviews afterwards as well, because obviously he'd received some racist abuse after the first leg. The team had been absolutely battered by the fans in general for the performance. And he was asked, you know, about whether it was a stressful week in the build-up. And he said, you know what, I actually slept really well at night. I was so calm. And he said, the training a week has been fantastic and we practice penalties so much, because obviously you know that the main focus is just to get yourselves back in the game. So there's a high chance if you score four goals, you're going to take it to pens.
There's a low chance that you're going to score
But probably getting it to pens was the best chance,
I like the optimism.
And they just practice all week and it paid off because all their penalties were pretty good.
Also, can I shout out Callum Patterson? Because his equaliser in extra time was so chill.
Yeah.
He's in the box. Mm-hmm. It's 5-4. They've come down from four behind. They've gone behind again. And he has he almost does it in his stride, left foot toe poke into the bottom.
Honestly.
And the key, it's like wrong foot's the keeper. It's unbelievable. It's one of the coolest. Actually, some of the goals in this game were unbelievable.
But so it's one of those kind of finishes where it's the latter stages of extra time, and that chance comes and he misses and you think, oh my God, has he missed that chance? Yeah. But the way, you're right, the way he took that chance, because it kind of ricocheted a bit.
Yeah.
And then bam.
And the celebration was so casual as well.
Jack Hunt's winning penalty as well.
So
top
good.
Corner.
Just, you know what?
I wish he'd Panenka'd it.
No.
Watching Bostock. Watching Bostock.
Exactly.
I'm done with people. If you are not Zidane or Pirlo, please stop doing Panenkas in big games.
For all the playoff finals coming up at Wembley, listen up. Do not do that.
That's very anti-Stadio of you.
I don't business, bro.
All right.
Stop Panenkering in finals if your name doesn't begin with P or Z.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's highly embarrassing to even try that.
I think you're both wrong. Quick shout out West Ham quickly.
We
their first European final in 47 years. They beat AZ Alkmaar 1-0 in Alkmaar. 2-1 up from the first leg, sealed it. Some nasty scenes afterwards. Some Alkmaar fans went to the friends and family bit of the stadium where West Ham friends and family were. Good to see the club straight away came out and were really critical of them. So were the players, so were the manager.
I also want to shout out Marlon Harewood, who was ready to go section. He was up and who wants to fight? Obviously, don't condone violence, but I just thought, yes, Marlon, I'm ready.
They're picking on the wrong fan.
Fans.
But I got to say, I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased for West Ham, simply because, they're a team. I had 18 months there. I'm delighted for West Ham simply because the first kit that we ever had, me and my brother, West Ham kits.
Was it? Number 8.
Really? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Brother loved Jeff Hurst and I had the number 8. I think it was Clyde Best.
Wow.
So I've had that affinity with West Ham because it was the first football kit I ever put on. But I'm just pleased. It was that Bobby Moore one, the great one. You know, the great
classic.
One. But I'm just pleased for them simply because, again, that's another set of fans what can you say?
I mean, they've been on the journey this season. And actually, props to David Moyes, because I think David Moyes will probably leave in the summer, right?
You think?
I think there's a bit of talk about going out on a high.
There has been chat that they'll move on and kind of reset in the summer, I think.
And if he wins them a European trophy.
I was going to ask, seems like Conference League's kind of cool. It gives a team that's
struggling. West Ham
is the Conference League suddenly cool now? When did I miss this rebrand?
There's a lot of disrespect for the Conference League, especially from fans who feel that they should be in and around the Champions League, even the Europa League. And the Conference League is like a laugh and a joke to them. But when you are West Ham, Aston Villas and teams like this, that you might be able to get yourself into that. Mm. For fans who, in the main, what are they going to win? When you're talking about FA Cup, Europa League, the League Cup, or what are they going to win? This is massive for West Ham.
But it's also a really good opportunity to progress into another European competition. You win the Conference League, you're in the Europa League next year.
Give the players another experience of going through a competition.
Yeah.
I think the issue for me is it's got the word conference in it. That just devalues everything when you put the word conference in.
Let's do a little branding. What would be a different, not Conference League.
Has it got its own song? Because I love the Europa tune.
Same.
It's conference, ain't even got its song.
Get its own anthem and change the name. And I think you, and I don't like the green because it's got more it's got green in it.
That perfect
I don't hate the green. Europa Vibes League would be
Europa
Vibes. I'm happy with that. I'm really happy with that because it is vibes, because it's kind of like it's anyone's game, and it's very open.
I like the thing. I like that, Chris, about trying to find a name for it. Look at me, I'm just really one of those people who three people have said something really funny and then you're trying to think of something.
It's your show, man. You don't need to.
But I like the vibe. Why would you say the Conference League? It makes it sound beneath and low. It
probably
makes
because it people in the Europa League and the Champions League were we need to make sure people understand that this is not that.
don't confuse us with those guys.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a little bit of a kind of you know, if in, like, for example, if the UK tries to rejoin the European Union in 5 years' time, it's a little bit similar because they had three European Cup competitions anyway, and then they binned them all off, and they're like, let's bring another one back.
So what was this? Was this the Milk Cup? What was this?
No, this was I think this was what essentially the Cup Winners' Cup would have been.
Yes. Or the Intertoto?
No, because basically there was the European Cup, which is the Champions League.
Yeah.
There was the UEFA Cup, which is the Europa League. Mm. And there was the Cup Winners' Cup, which was literally people who won their domestic cup competitions would all play in a straight knockout against each other. Two legs.
That's the one we won.
That's the one that... And that was low-key amazing, that competition. It was massively underrated and they got rid of that one first.
In that conception, would City have to play in both
competitions? No. So for example, if you win your domestic cup, you also win your league, you go into whatever the highest competition would be.
So then the runner-up
going.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was cool, man. And I know it would never work now because of the money in football, but two-legged straight knockout all the way, can't beat it, man.
Two-legged straight knockout?
Straight knockout all the way. Fuck this league stuff.
You can imagine because like you're instantly plugged in.
Yeah, man,
you're plugged in from the go. This is like what I was going to say with the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup is the only thing that you see where right from the start, it's go. Bam, yeah, go. you're at your best because every single shot matters. That's what we should be doing with the competitions. Every game matters. Straight knockout, man.
Every game matters. That should be the motto of the Vibes League.
Yeah.
So into it.
So we got a motto. We've got a name.
We just haven't got the check.
We just got to get an anthem.
We need an anthem.
So West Ham are going to play Fiorentina, who beat Basel after extra time
3-1. That's a fun final.
That will be.
The Europa League final is probably the most Musa / Stadio lineup of all time. Roma against Sevilla.
Wow.
Sevilla went through after extra time against Juve. Roma went through with a thrilling 0-0 draw against Leverkusen.
Of course.
Yeah.
101 minutes of game time, Ian, right? I've asked these two already, so they know. How long was the ball in play for? So you hate these questions, don't you?
I do.
It's like asking someone how old you think they are.
Okay, I'm going to say the ball was in play.
So it was 101 minutes of actual game time.
Yeah. So this is the time when you feel like if I say something really stupid, I'm going to be stupid.
No such thing as stupid answer.
I'm going to say 57 minutes.
54.
Oh, you are so close.
You got to give me five.
Still not a lot of time in.
Not a lot of time. Well, it was a Jose Mourinho masterclass. He's on course to win the Conference League 1 year and then the Europa League this year. Does that mean Roma are going to win the Champions League next year?
No.
No.
Okay.
Imagine like a Roma Man City final. Can you imagine?
That would be like the most like one-way traffic finals of all time.
In a final, if Jose Mourinho's managing the other team, whoever they're playing against, I will always fancy his
team. They've got a chance.
You've got a chance. You want it in a Champions League final.
Yeah.
Because then we get Jose on acid, LSD, everything you can give him. You get
full Jose
in that kind of game against that Man City. Because there's no way, Jose is not mentioning stuff.
Hey, we're going to talk about succession in a bit. He's going to be like Tom behind the whiteboard.
Oh, my God. Tom behind the whiteboard. Oh, gosh.
So his assistant. Are you pretending to do this?
Greg?
Spoiler alert, sorry.
Okay.
And Premier League final shout out, Newcastle beating Brighton 4-1 in a really, really impressive performance from Newcastle.
Yeah, thanks, Brighton. Thanks a lot. Well, cheers. Now just go on holiday, fellas.
Wasn't their fault.
What's Brighton's record in the North?
Ooh, that is a really good question.
It seems like they don't love going above a certain level of the country in England.
Looks like Newcastle are going to be in the Champions League.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know something? I could see it with Newcastle that because Shearer, my phone was blasting. I was there last night, but my phone was blasting. Can I give Eddie Howe flowers, please? Because I think that everybody thought that once Newcastle, with the money and everything, what was happening, oh, it's just going to be blasted in. Oh, they're going to get this. Yes, they've made some good. I think he's a great signing. You know, Trippier, good signings. They made good signing Dan Byrne. You know, Guimaraes, all these parts. But the coaching of that team and the way that team play, how tough they are now to beat at St. James's Park. You know, Guimaraes, you know, you literally have to shut them down. But they are coached very, very well. And when they put some bolts onto that, when they add some more onto that, Newcastle are coming.
I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, but it seems like the way that they went about building their team is closer to like early Mourinho Chelsea than it is early City, where it's like they're spending in the toughest parts of the field and building strength and like they're just real gamesmen. It seems like they really know like how to get a win when it's not there.
Yeah,
it's true. With they're getting, because when City first started, remember it was people like Gareth Barrington and Lescott. That was the kind of signings.
It was Alana and people like
Alana,
that.
Before. Yeah, they were getting that kind of signing as it was going on, and you could see, but then you look at Newcastle as well. You know, Trippier, fantastic signing. You know, even Botman. Magnificent signing. Guimarães, players, Isak, players like, and then obviously Callum Wilson was there before, but players that know the league, navigate the league, and with good coaching, Chris, they're probably going to do well. Then all of a sudden, you start getting excited about who may come.
Right.
You know?
I mean, for Newcastle, not taking anything away from anyhow, because obviously Moose and I talked about this on Stadio this week, where obviously there's been a lot of discussion recently, seemingly more so than normal, about Man City structure and financial
because the success has come, then people don't like that. So now people are even more jealous of that instead of talking about it all the way through continually.
But it also is totally reliant on Guardiola, but that setup allows them to get Guardiola. But Guardiola coaches that team in a way that no one else really could. And I think Eddie Howe has done a pretty good job considering it's quite tricky when that, we've seen it a number of times before, when all of the money comes in, you've still got to have a coach who knows how to handle players that are in a club that's going through a huge transition.
Yeah.
So yeah, fair play. Before we move on to succession, finally, it's a big WSL weekend coming up. We're going to talk.
It is.
Us three are going to be in the studio, Flo, Ian and I, on Tuesday. So we're going to do big WSL chat then. But Flo, can you just let everyone know what's going on in the WSL this weekend?
It's a double derby.
It's a double derby.
We did a big preview on Counter Press. We also had Laura Coombs from Man City. Mm. We had an interview with her as well. Went up to Manchester to chat to her, which was really fun. And talked to her actually about getting back into the England squad, which was really interesting. Mm. She told us about how she actually screened Serena Wiegmann's call.
Aired her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because the call came in and it was no picture and it was a random phone number and she didn't know it. So she was like, I'm not answering that. She got a text saying, hi, Laura, it's Serena here. And she was like, shit. And then she called back again and was like, hello. Because she hasn't been called up since like 2015.
Wow.
So she didn't think, she was like, why would I be getting a call from England? Anyway, we had a bit of a chat with her. But it's a massive weekend because Chelsea are hosting Arsenal on Sunday, 12:30 kickoff. and if Chelsea beat Arsenal and then United drop points to City later in the day in the Manchester derby, then Chelsea will be champions with a game to spare. And no one's done that since Arsenal last won the league in 2019. So it's quite rare
and
that you get
three in a row for Chelsea, right?
Four in a row.
Four,
yeah. 2019, 2020, 2020, 2021, 21, 22,
22, 23,
yeah. So four in a row for Chelsea. So, yeah, but I mean, it probably on form, it would go Chelsea win, United win, but who knows? Because Arsenal are trying to secure Champions League. City are still trying to keep themselves in the Champions League race. So, yeah, back to back, BBC and Sky. So it's going to be a good weekend.
It's going to be tough. Nice. This is tough for Arsenal. You know, losing Leopoldi the other day as well. Oh.
Just never ending.
You know, when you look at Arsenal, I'm not trying to garner any kind of like sympathy for them, but like Leah Williamson, Beth Mead, Vivian Miedema, Leah Valti,
and Kim Little,
Laura Vine Rota.
That is six starters.
Yeah.
That's six.
And they were bad injuries, right? Like it wasn't just like
else. And that doesn't even count all the people who have been in and out, like Caelan Ford, Steph Catley, Rafael Lina Hurtig.
Whatever they can get this season, they have to take.
If they get Champions League have a League Cup trophy, that is amazing.
Especially going to the Champions League semi-final as well. I think amazing job in very difficult circumstances.
It's going to be a tough one because Pelova's going to have to come in probably.
She's playing well,
she is playing well. But we're talking about proper like Leah missing and that kind of experience in that midfield.
It's going to be a tough one.
Sure. I'm more looking like I really liked Manchester United this year, but like Chelsea are just imperious.
Inevitable.
They are inevitable. It's going to be interesting this week. I'm looking forward to it.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. but at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app. This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Should talk about Succession now.
Yes, please. I think for me, obviously watching The Sopranos at the start, you know, Breaking Bad, you know, I didn't do The Wire. And I think that this, for me, is one of the best I've seen, the acting. I love the opulence and I love the way that they are, the richness and everything that's around them. And it's just nothing, it's flippancy around them. It's just like nothing. And the way they speak to people, the acting. You know, are we giving spoilers? Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a spoil. This will contain spoilers of Succession. Yeah. So if you haven't watched Succession,
season four.
I don't want to go too. Yeah, I don't want to go too deep. But like, if I can just flip back to the episode where, you know, Logan passes.
Yeah,
I think that could have been some of the best acting when you look at the characters up to that point and what the dad's like. You know, you could see there's a lot of competition in that family. There's not a lot of love given out, so not a lot of hugs. But Jesus Christ, the acting in that was sensational.
I think the writing as well for that, for the episodes after that, I think was phenomenal, and the way obviously the actors played it out, because that is such a big move to make. Mm-hmm. And I think people thought it might be coming, but at the end of the season, right?
Yeah, not
that was going to be the finale.
Yeah.
But what I found so amazing is that actually it hasn't, I don't really care that he's there. Yeah. And not even like in an, obviously he was a horrible man, so it's not that emotional meme, but it hasn't impacted the rest of the show. And I think that's a really exciting and impressive thing to do, is it actually now feels like a tiny part of the season and everyone else's storylines are far more exciting and far more interesting. And it's not driven around Logan anymore. It's driven around everything else. And I actually think that's flipped it to a new level.
Yeah,
because it makes it way more exciting for me.
Yeah, and they still have managed to make it the funniest show on television at the same time.
So that's Tom and Greg, bro.
It's just you can go through an episode where American democracy collapses and still just be like, but the wasabi, man. Like,
wasabi in the eye, yeah.
Ian, you're right, man. I mean, it's cooking with the same gas that Breaking Bad and Sopranos were dramatically. And then it's got this, the thick of it, Veep,
yes,
comic chops.
Yes, yes.
And that episode, the election episode, was very thick of it with all these people running back and forth in the office and just be like, no, Greg!
And you know, Veep as well. Yeah, I know. Has it got some of the writers from Veep?
It does. Jesse Armstrong, who does Succession, worked with Armando Iannucci, who did Thick of It and did Veep. I don't know if Jesse worked on Veep, but he worked on Thick of It.
Yeah,
but they're brilliant.
Did the Peep Show as well, Jesse Armstrong. Yeah. So, and actually, to be honest, I think this season, more than even previous seasons, there's been more Peep Showisms there, I think. So seeing those lines coming through a very, very different personality delivered in a different way, it's kind of amazing. That's one of the things I think this season, with Logan moving out the way, essentially, it's kind of, I found myself a little bit more, I don't know whether engaged is the right word, but like leaning in a little bit more.
Yeah, you do lean in, simply because
I think that's the trust that the show's built up. Yeah. Like, not a lot of shows will be able to make a call that big so soon in a season and let people still be really engaged with it.
Well, I mean, they got rid of the son of the show, right? So everything revolved around Logan, but you did get some repetition of scenes because Logan was pretty unchanging. Like, Logan in every scene was just like, fuck off. Yeah. How about that? And now these kids are trying to sort of relate to one another in a way in which they're not doing it only through the prism of like trying to appease their father or kill their father or whatever they were doing. So it's become like this true ensemble where I bet if we went around the table right now, each one of us would probably have a different character that we thought this season was about.
Yes.
Because it's about Roman in a lot of ways.
Yes.
It's about Shiv in a lot of ways. It's about Kendall in a lot of ways. And in a lot of ways, it's about all the people beneath them that are dealing with the fallout of their actions.
And it's about their relationships with each other, because we see that when they try and do the buyout of Pierce as a family almost, and they're like, even though they've all been split across various levels, they suddenly think, oh, actually, can we band together?
Can we be a family?
And work together and be a family for the first time in ever. And that's a whole other dynamic we haven't seen before. Yeah.
You know, one of the scenes that I watched that I just like, this is just so amazing, this scene. Remember the scene when Logan comes to see them, when I think when Connor was doing his karaoke.
Yeah.
And then he was talking to them. I didn't know what, with Logan there, you know, you could see that he knew that they had him. They had him because he had to go back to the table. But it's when he spoke to them and at the end he said, and watching the three of them, and he said, you're not serious fucking people.
Yeah.
I love you, but you are not serious people.
I love, you know something? I mean, I can imagine how they felt. You could see it. And this is what I'm saying about the acting. It's like he touched them in a place where even though they're doing, you know, doing what they're doing to take over everything, what they're doing to buy, he touched them in a place where he's just fucking got so much control over their fucking minds. You could see Kendall, you could see Shiv, you could see Roman, just like not just with your dad just telling you're not serious, then getting up and leaving. It was so, again, I was like, fuck these people.
And also, what is that moment? That's the last moment they see their father.
Oh my God.
You know, imagine if the last thing your dad said to you was you're not serious people. And so that's the greatness of this season, is that they've constructed it so that essentially every episode is a day. You know, like it's, and that is also kind of mind blowing when you get to this point in the season and you're like, wow, Logan died like 8 days ago. According to this season.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I didn't think
there's
about
some
that,
stuff
yeah.
where it's like they fly from Norway to Los Angeles to New York, and you're like, how that is actually like PJ or no PJ, that's a long flight, you know?
Sorry, but the PJ subplot around the takeover has been phenomenal. Yeah. They're like, oh, we can live without the PJs. Yeah. And then they're like, but I actually wonder, is the PJ, where are we with the PJ situation now? Because
I'm waiting for Ian Poulter to show up.
Yeah, yeah. Poulter. But I think right now that they have been all like, now everybody uses their PJs, carbon footprint be damned.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't strike me as the most concerned about their own carbon.
Matson and Shiv meeting on the runway.
Yes.
When Matson's getting his PJ refueled.
He doesn't even have any shoes on.
Yeah. And it's like, where are they? And where are they going?
It's unbelievable. This is what I'm saying about how it's just flagrantly put in and it's just like nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Matt, they're just like, oh, from our jet to EJ. Oh.
Yeah.
And then he just walks across and goes on our jet.
Speaking of the each episode is a day, for those who don't know, because I don't know if people, what the crossover is, but shout out on Stadio a few times. Mm. Chris does an amazing podcast with Andy Greenwald called The Watch, and they've been recapping each episode along with the Ringer prestige TV show.
You've got to listen to that.
But The Watch, personally, I've loved, like my, and I do this with a lot of shows. I do it with like We Own This City, a lot of other big shows that come on. Watch the episode, listen to Chris and Andy. Mm. And I loved Andy's thing the other day being like, could they not maybe have like scheduled an extra day in between like the election and the funeral? Maybe don't have Logan's funeral the day after the election, because everyone could do with a day off. And I really appreciate that. And I find myself, I don't know whether it's, I found myself actually during the last episode, which was called America Decides is the election, about halfway through the episode, I think there's a reference maybe or a slight reminder, or maybe I just remember myself that Logan's funeral was the next day. And I literally went out loud, fuck, the funeral's the next day. Like, I was going. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, I was stressed. How are they actually dealing with this? Like,
well, but it's also why, so in previous seasons, it would essentially take place over the course of maybe a year, sometimes longer, sometimes a little shorter. But it would be like, thanks, like, we're getting together for this birthday, this wedding, this something, whatever it is. And they would have these periods in between where they had obviously gone and done their own thing, like Kendall had been in rehab or whatever it had been. And now it's like every time they stab one another in the back or in the heart, they have to see each other the next day for some reason. And it makes it that much more like intense and dramatic. You know, you mentioned The Sopranos, and one of the things that I think these two shows share, I'd be curious to hear what you think about this, is that you can be watching someone, for me it's Roman, and they can be honestly doing like the worst thing possibly imaginable. And then there's also a part of you that still likes them. Absolutely. So it's like Tony.
Yeah.
It's
Tony
like,
Soprano,
It's like you're watching Tony and you're just like, this guy, absolutely
boss. What a
demon.
Yes.
And then you're just like, oh man, I hope Tony gets out of this alive. I hope Tony this.
Yeah.
And that's the best kind of TV is where you can love someone and hate someone.
And hate them at the same time. I'm like that with Roman.
Yeah.
Because in every scene, whatever he's doing, even though you can see that, you can feel that somewhere along the line he's going to be the guy because he's so nasty. His tongue is, he's so mean. It's like when Connor, when his missus, he couldn't find his missus and he was like, he had her on his iPhone, wherever she was. And he was saying where she was, she's with some young guy. And just in the moment, you know, just being so nasty. And you can see where Logan can recognize in him that he's the one. Because he will literally just like, you know what I mean? He'd sell his mum down the line.
When Roman accidentally or purposely fires Jerry, that was one of my favorite bits.
God.
And then he doesn't know what to do and he starts panicking. Yeah. And then he's like, we're going to have to get the lawyers involved. And then he's trying to... And that's also where you get the family dynamic that's really good and why I find it funny, like coming from a big family and having me and my brothers kind of labeled my dad as the Logan Roy of our world, is that the family dynamics of like sibling rivalries, don't want to embarrass yourself because you want to look like you can still do a good job, and this whole kind of thing of like, then he doesn't want to tell Kendall what really happened. He's like, no, it's cool, man. Don't worry about it. And it's just, it's so...
What does Ken say? He's just like, hell yeah, who are you going to fire next? Yeah. Fire me?
It's like, Roman is just like, I don't know, a little right wing boy in a suit. Do you know what I mean? Like the amount of times this season, I think specifically, if you actually just pause on multiple shots of where Roman is in shot, it's just like, it could be an 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Or it could be a 12-year-old. It's like, I don't know. I think this is the thing about Succession, which I love, and the thing you mentioned, Chris, about like you find yourself rooting for absolute pricks.
Yes.
But that's why my mum doesn't watch it. My mum said she can't watch it because she finds everyone too unlikable. And I'd be interested, I mean, some people may not listen to this section of the pod because they don't watch Succession, but I'd be interested to know other people who have found it harder to engage in the show, if they find it similar. Is I still find it enjoyable because there are likable elements and it's funny to see that all unravel and the chaos.
But I can understand.
There must be some people.
But this is a massive HBO trait though, right? Mm. Like, Wayne Jenkins.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get over the idea of somebody being like, I tuned into this podcast to listen to more Conference League final semi-finals talk.
No.
Or they're just like,
I'll go on Succession. No, these guys.
We're going to get an angry review being like, this is too woke, it's not the Vibes League, and these people in Succession are awful.
You know the thing with, like you say that, Flo, and it's interesting because when I watch it, sometimes I feel like I'm so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm so uncomfortable, you know, but then you know that in the next scene or something's going to happen, what's going to make you feel like, oh, it just brings you back in. Because you look at literally all the characters in it, and to a certain extent, they're all not nice.
No, they are all awful people.
Awful. Like,
fundamentally they're awful, all hypocrites. People.
You know who scares me more than any? It's Lucas Mattson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't, what is it with him, bro? You know, he's just like, he scares me just the way he is.
But do you know what you would like? The sauna. He hangs out in the sauna a lot. That's your vibe.
Yeah, but that's my vibe,
man. Get him down
but
the banya. Talk tech.
He's just somebody that...
talk about those Indian numbers in the banya.
But the thing with him, he's just somebody that... he'll say one thing 1 minute. Like when he makes the phone call with Kendall and he's saying to him, listen, to do this or else I'm off. I'm walking. With everything what he's built up to. You know what I mean? He said that to Kendall about, you know what I mean? Listen, sort yourself out or else I'm leaving. I'm out. And then... then you get the phone call from like Roman, like the phone's up and then it says dad and then all of them go, oh.
You're talking to dad now,
You know something, it's just like normal and crazy and it's just like, I cannot love it anymore.
I think the thing that I love about it is that in shows like this, you usually maybe get two noticeable character arcs,
mm-hmm.
but like big kind of like, not redemption, because I think like they can also be like inverse, you know what I mean? And I feel like, The genius of Jesse Armstrong and the crew on this, the team, is that there are multiple plates spinning all the time, every second of every episode for four seasons.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And they elitism. Never really miss a beat on it.
They like, also, I mean, like, because it's HBO, because it's the hit that it is, they have maintained this cast where they shoot it on film. It looks amazing.
Yes.
They go to Croatia. They block a street in New York. They go to Brooklyn. Like, whatever they're doing, it looks like exactly
this season
where they
especially
are.
Is being global.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah, and so they then also have one of my favorite characters on the show is Stewie.
Yeah.
Mm. And they just, like, keep Stewie on contract to bring him in for like the absolute microwave 2 minutes that he's in the show, but he's still on. Like, you know, like Sandy Furness is still on. Like, all these characters, these sort of minor characters, all the executives that they keep, Carl and Frank.
Oh my God.
Love those guys.
And Jerry, that they just have like, you guys Hugo. Just go in the background. And then one of the coolest things about this show is like the way they make it is when they do those dinner scenes or those party scenes, sometimes like they'll just shoot, you know, like the actors have said, they'll shoot us for like hours.
Wow.
Riffing, doing different versions, doing alts.
It feels very real.
And then they'll take the best 2 minutes of what we did and cut it in.
And that's also
literally
apart,
that's literally how we do writers.
But also, I'm just saying, like, apart just, from successful. Brian Cox, who's obviously a huge name, the show is driven by very good, but not A-list actors.
That's what TV's supposed to do, is take people you don't know and make them into stars. And now it's kind of changed where like Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson will do True Detective and they'll be in a TV show. But that used to never happen.
And like Kieran Culkin's only ever done like indie kind of films.
I think you may
films.
Know the name and I you may it. Know the face a little bit. Like people know Matthew McFadden's face, but like now they think of him as Tom.
Yep.
And now they think of Jeremy Strong as Kendall. And that's why when people talk about this show, they mostly say, I can't believe Kendall did this, even though it was written and even though it was acted. They're almost like, this is like reality.
Yeah. Do you think that's going to be hard for them going forward, though, as actors, actually, if they're too rooted in those characters?
It may or may not. I mean, it's interesting to know that they were very much on the fence about ending the show. So obviously they weren't going to go forward with Brian because they needed eventually that for that. I think that Jeremy Strong was done playing Kendall.
Well, also we talked about this before we started recording, but the New York Times profile a few years ago, he's also the one that's probably so deep into that character that it might be hard to tap out.
Because
you
look at him in The Gentleman, you look at him in The Gentleman, Guy Ritchie's film, he's not a million miles away from Kendall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's that character's going to follow him.
Yeah, it's going to follow all of them. But I think that there was a version of this show that went on for two more seasons or something, and it was kind of like, what crazy jam can they get in this week?
How are
they going to merge or you know, make an acquisition? And instead, they've decided to give it this almost like Shakespearean tragedy of a final season.
It feels
season.
Quite sad.
Yeah.
The whole thing, in the, when you really think, it's very, very sad. There's not a lot of love in that family. There's not a lot of, you know what I mean? You feel like every now and then Connor will try and say something, but obviously Connor's the outside sibling and everything, and you know, he'll just say something. But like, you look at I feel for them.
Yeah.
I feel for the fact that they're
dad did this to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because you know,
Connor
Lemke, like,
MVP of the season, by the way. I think.
I feel sorry for him because that, you know, when what was it he said about, you know what I mean? He's about being loved.
Oh, it was when Logan dies, he said, well, he didn't really like me anyway.
He didn't like me. You know what I mean? And the bit when his missus left, Connor's missus, worked, couldn't find her. But a beautiful bit when he went back home, she was in the bed. But then it's the bit where he said to them, it's okay, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's with me because if I'm not loved, because I've never been loved. So
I've really enjoyed Connor in this season.
You know
actually.
Something? He's perfect. So
I think this has been his best season. But
can I just say just quickly, Connor, every time I look at him, I still think Ferris Bueller.
Do you think he's doing a
Cameron? God, I do, yeah. Driving a Ferrari over. I just fucking love
Let
I love him.
My
but like
Cameron
I love him.
Go.
Yeah. I've just got that's all I want just want to say is just it's like everybody who comes on screen gives you something.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned like the people that they can pull, like just be like, okay, can you come back after not being in it for two seasons and do one scene? It is basically like, it's like Manchester City. isn't it? Like the depth that they have, all of a sudden you're like, these would be like stars.
Oh my God, is that John Stones' music?
Yeah.
What team is Mattson and what's his company called again? The weird name of his, like
Gojo.
What team are Gojo? They're like a kind of, who's that team that English guy manages in France everyone's obsessed with? And he had that great.
Oh, Ren. Yeah. Ren.
Are they giving you that vibe? I don't know.
No. Let me see what vibe.
Skarsgård's like a massive football fan though, right?
Yeah
he's a
about?
Hammerby fan.
Got it. We've got some questions. We put some questions.
Yeah, did you put some questions? Oh, brilliant. Come on, guys.
Well, the first one from David Usher says, I just love this because this is exactly what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember the bit where Roman says that he pre-grieved Logan's death?
Yeah.
David says, are Arsenal in pre-grief? if they want a good grief guy, Kendall knows the best.
Or when Tom goes to Shiv, you're scheduling your grief?
I absolutely pre-grieved the Man City.
When Ian did the sort of quick response pod after Brighton the other day, I actually did think about the line where Kendall's like, I'm twin track, I'm dead but alive.
That's been me since the World Cup.
Yeah. Do you know what? Listening back to that, that is the vibe. Yeah. And they scheduled their grief. They were like, we're going to get it out of the way, night of, and never speak of it again. Yeah.
This is what I'm saying about it. Deep down, it's very sad.
It is sad. It's a tragedy. It's like a tragic comedy, really. Yeah. Okay, couple of questions. Veronica and Max basically said, choose your succession five-a-side team. And translating their attributes as characters to attributes on the pitch.
It
says, please include yourselves in the squad, but I'm gonna overrule that.
Nah.
Yeah.
So
you could be coach.
Let me see.
Logan could be coach.
All right. Well, so let's start from the back.
Yeah.
Keeper Greg or
you know what? I wouldn't put Greg in goal.
I'd have someone. I'd have like Carl in goal.
I mean, Matson's a big unit. You know,
Matson,
he's a little five-a-side though.
Little assistant with the beard?
Oscar.
Oscar in goal because he's got Jens Lehmann energy.
I like him.
He has got. But also five-a-side goals, so we don't need necessarily. Oh, okay. Units.
So, Roman's in my midfield because he's just really nasty and big. He's Dennis Wise.
He'd be snapping at
Angus. Dennis Wise. Yeah, he's my Dennis Wise.
All right. So. Who are we going in goal? I think Oscar in goal is a good shout.
Yeah.
I think Oscar wouldn't fucking stop talking to people. Oh, you're shit. It'd be like you when you did the trash talking.
But I think that's more Roman in midfield where the engine. Roman would be trash talking.
Yeah, he's the Jordan Henderson, just nipping at everybody. Yeah.
You know something.
Who at the back?
Tom.
I'd probably have Tom at the back. You know, I'd have Tom at the back.
And I'll have
Greg at right back because I want them too close to each other.
Also, Tom would then yell at Greg. Yeah. No, Greg, you're offside.
Keeping everybody on, Greg.
A back two of the disgusting brothers. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
The disgusting brothers.
All right, so we got Tom and Greg, and there's the back two. That's leaky.
Yeah,
that strikes me as a leaky defense.
That's because we're going to throw everything, you know, going forward. We're going to be like Sheffield Wednesday.
I'd have Shiv in my side because she's really, she's serious, man. She ain't taking no shit, man, in the team.
But we've got four, so we've only got one more.
I know.
I mean, unless we play one at the back. Do you know what? Greg on the bench for me. I'd have Tom at the back, maybe.
On
if
his
you
own.
Want. But Greg, we're going to split up the disgusting.
Well, we're going to need somebody who's going to help Tom. Shiv ain't going to help Tom.
Who's box to box? I put Jerry in there. Jerry has done a lot of
work. Jerry's done some work.
Jerry has covered a lot of ground over the years.
What about Kerry?
No.
You wouldn't have her in there?
It's kind of a before-after thing. I think Kerry's had a tough end of the campaign.
I think Kerry needs...
I have our number nine
go on.
Nailed on.
Go who on. Is it?
It's Marsha. Clinical.
It is Marsha.
Marsha telling Kerry to get in a cab, then to get on a subway and go back to her small apartment. That's just like Drogba.
Ian had a line the other day, and I called him out on it for being a flex, where he said, I had more goals than touches. And that's basically Marsha's whole game.
Yeah. I had more goals than touches.
Like six touches, six goals, basically. And she's deadly efficient.
So would you put, is Kendall managing?
Kendall's too flappable under pressure, as we saw from the previous episode.
Wouldn't Terry be a good manager?
Who?
Jerry
would be a good manager.
I think Jerry could make a good manager. She could keep people in check. She knows everything. She knows everyone.
I think just Logan's.
No, Logan's too. He's too intense for everybody. Everybody's fucking scared of him. You don't want your manager like, I want to be, I don't want another George Graham.
They'd all be trying to impress him as well and get distracted.
Getting in a huddle, Tom's coming around being like, here to serve, here to serve.
You know, yeah, but this is what's so tough about trying to find somebody who cares about everybody enough to worry that they're going to be okay, is going to manage them well. Who's in the show that you can say, yeah, he cares enough to make.
I guess Connor.
Connor would be good.
He's too soft.
What about Frank? Frank or Carl, I think. They're just the guys who just like, maybe they can do some kind of like Gerard Julio Roy.
What about Kendall's sort of PA? What's she called?
I think Jess
is too, he just have enough power.
No,
I think she's too enough. Morally sound to be the.
You know who I'd have as the manager?
Stewie would be a good manager.
Yeah, maybe, but Logan's driver.
Oh, Colin.
The security guys.
Yeah. You know, jeans and blazer on the top.
He kind of looks a little like Dean Smith.
With his earpiece as well. Yes. He's got like a Sam Allardyce earpiece.
He's got Dean Smith, Sean Dyche vibe. But the thing what I like about him is that you feel like when he's in it, especially when Logan one time was talking to him, and it was really strange conversation.
Is that asking about the afterlife?
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. But like, I just feel that he's somebody. When I saw him on there, I said, we're going to see more of him. Mm. I think we're going to see more of him. Or we need to see more of him, because there's something to his character where you feel there's a lot more going on with him. And this is what I love about it. Everybody that comes
Everybody has something going on.
You're thinking, what's he about?
Yeah.
I think he makes a good manager because we don't know what he's about, but we know that he's about something.
Okay. Well, so either Marsha or Matt's an up top.
Right. I'd go for Marshall.
I'd go for Marshall.
Yeah, I love that shout.
I'd go for Marshall. I think as well, Mattson, even in goal, he's too crazy.
Yeah. What about Mattson?
He gives me the vibe that he's
Mattson
in goal.
Mattson, Roman midfield.
Oh, maybe. Danger.
Little pivot.
I reckon Mattson's good at football as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
I probably have him and Roman in there ball simply because they look like they could complement each other because the vibe between them two is weird.
Well, if you put Mattson and Roman up front, you get big man, little man.
Classic. Classic.
4-4-2.
That's like an interfrontier. Yeah. All right, a couple quick more questions because we've got to wrap in a sec.
No
Dan
worries.
Cook just quickly says, anyone else agree that Greg will end up the only real winner? This is Bill's thing, right?
Yeah, I've had a few people I've chatted to about they expect Greg to go out on a high in the finale.
I don't think it's that show. Like, I don't. I think that this show is like building towards something pretty powerful.
I would hate it if that.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's just like, silly.
And then Greg got it.
It's just silly.
Yeah, no, we can't have that. No. Yeah. I think Greg's perfect in how Greg is.
Adam Passival says, how is Robin Roy getting on as the owner of Hearts? Do you remember that?
That's right. Oh my God,
go fast, go hard, you lovely bastards.
Yeah, what happened? Actually, what happened to that plotline? Yes. Did it just disappear?
So Mattson owns a club too.
Yeah.
Because when Roman goes and visits him in Norway, he's like, how's your kicky footy team? Like,
yeah. But I thought that was just the team he supported.
I think with Mattson, you have to assume he owns
it. He's got an investment. Yeah. But his would be like, yes, I own some NFTs or like some crypto, like almost like Crawley Town.
Yeah. He would but you be see like the thing with it though, group. Even with the fact that he owned Arts and whatever, but that made me quite sad because he doesn't give a shit.
He tried to buy the club for his dad. His dad was like, I like Hibs.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He bought the wrong team. But like, I would just hope that is not what it's like in real life for Hearts because like, Jesus, it feels like it is.
Hearts are back, baby.
I'm pleased they're back, but like the way they kind of it was so like dismissive of it. You know, it felt sad because it's fucking Hearts.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, but they don't care. It's like they don't care about stuff.
And that's the thing. Go on.
Two final questions.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Corcoran says, which of the Roy children would be best suited to run for FIFA president? If one wins, do the other two then go and try for the UEFA presidency and try to undermine the sibling?
Easy for me.
For FIFA president, remember. FIFA, not UEFA.
I'm going with Ken.
For FIFA?
Yeah. For FIFA, it's Roman.
I think it's Roman.
You think Roman?
Yeah, I think Roman's adaptable.
I think Roman. I can imagine.
He would be so poisoned if he's like, oh my God.
Why did I think Ken? No, I wouldn't go for Ken. Because you know the thing with Ken, he's got the look. He looks like he could be FIFA president, Ken, but then you see how fragile a man can be sometimes and just the way the fairies wear is. You know that Roman is going to be Roman, and then he's nasty, bro.
Yeah.
He's nasty. You can't have that as in and around a FIFA presidency. You can't have that nastiness where it's visible. You can see him. Like, I think Kendall hides that better.
Can't you?
You know, I look at Roman, I instantly don't trust him.
Yeah.
Instantly. You know, I look at Kendall. Kendall's got a look in his face where you feel, oh, okay, yeah, I'll listen to what you got to say. Then he'll blast you. But Roman,
I think Roman's FIFA president and Con goes for UEFA presidency.
That's right.
Tom could be FIFA
not,
president.
But not one of the siblings.
Oh, okay.
Tom is the guy at the draw who's always like, so here's how the draw works. Here to serve.
Yes. Tom is the guy who's the, what's the organization that oversees the refs? Is it PGMOL?
Oh, I-5.
Tom would be like, we're working on VAR, you know? Like,
yeah. We're working on an AI throw-in technology. Yeah. So you'll never get a throw-in wrong. All right, final one. Disco Dan says, and we can just do name and sentence. Simple one. Who is your favorite character and why? Chris Ryan.
Kendall. Because I think that he is the tragedy and the sort of heart of the show. Mm. And I think without Kendall, it's a really good comedy, but Kendall makes it a really powerful drama.
Mm. I think I hate to be your hashtag girl boss, but I do really like Shiv. Yeah. I think
I feel sad for
her character arc has been a roller coaster.
Sure.
And I kind of respect her side hustle backstabbing that she's done in this season.
Yeah.
And I think she's very smart as well. The way that she's kind of played the game with her dad, with the others to try and hustle the CEO spot, even though it kind of never happened. But yeah, I think it's got to be Shiv.
Tom. I really like Tom.
He's a great character.
He's a fantastic character. And like we were saying, around the right people for him, the kissing ass is no problem. It's not a problem. But like you can see, there's something about him. Obviously, he's running the mass. He's running. Mm. He's running things, and he's got. And he's great. Him and Greg's relationship's really funny. But like, I just feel like deep down, you know, I think him and Shiv in another world probably. It could have been great.
Could have been happy.
Could have been great. But I like.
Could have done laundry and taxes in another world, Chris.
I just like him. I like his character. He's a survivor, bro.
Yeah.
That's what I think that Tom is. He's a survivor. He'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah, Tom's a great character. I love Greg as well. It's just Greg. His evolution from the very first episode in that costume.
I want Greg back.
It's just wild.
I want Greg back. You're Greg today. You're Greg today.
Roman was on a really, really good run until you, what they did so well in the previous episode, the America Decides episode, was actually show you who you've been rooting for without it being jazzed up, you're like, oh fuck yeah, that guy's horrible. I'm with Chris. I think Kendall's
when when Logan had a UTI meltdown and thought like someone was a cat.
Yeah.
That was really
this cat there.
It was very relatable because honestly, I think if anyone's been around an older person who's had a UTI and they do lose their mind, and you're like, okay, everybody.
So that's it on our Succession chat. Before we go, you did something right. You did something really cool last night.
Yes, Flo was there as well. Yeah. It was the FBB Gillette, the FBB, and the game changers. What we do with Gillette, I'm obviously a Gillette ambassador. You know, what we do is, you know, especially with the game changers, is that we, because of the lack of Black history and British Black history in the current school curriculum, we started a program for kids between 11 and 14, where we give them wide-ranging, history lessons on Black, all the way to Black Romans, all the way up to present day, Viv Anderson. And, you know, we've set up that program for them to learn that. And, you know, we went there last night and you saw a lot of the kids on the stage and they're all really, really fantastic there. You know, it's one of those things that you get involved in, you think, yeah, okay, we'll see how this goes. And it's thriving.
Mm-hmm.
It's thriving. The kids are thriving. You know, we're talking about kids like myself, you know, when they were younger. A guy came on stage, Kingston his name was, and he spoke about what he was like in class and how he was. And, they diagnosed him as ADHD. And everything he was doing was, me. And I was fortunate because what I recognized last night is that FBB was my Mr. Pigden. And that is what we're doing. And so, you know, it's great to be involved. Every year you go there, then you go to the classes and that, and you see what's going on, see how they're getting on, and they're all thriving. They're all thriving. So that's where he was last night. And it's one of those things that when you finish doing it, you feel good. You know, great load of people in the room, some wonderful people in the room. And it just makes you feel good. It really, really does.
It looked amazing.
It was amazing.
Gareth Southgate was there.
Yeah, Gareth Southgate.
Lotta Womamoy came as well. She does some stuff with Gillette and Venus and has developed, similar to what Ian's done, she's developed her kind of body confidence, yeah. Empowering topic and kind of curriculum that a lot of the FBB girls do, which, and there were some girls that spoke about the impact it's had on them, just feeling comfortable in their own skin, which I think people don't really think
it's
about, and you forget when you're at school. And like I certainly relate to so much of their saying, like, especially if you go to a mixed school with boys and you just feel like I hate swimming because of my experiences going swimming with boys at school.
Wow.
Like, it scarred me. I hate swimming because of that. And so I think people don't understand the impact this can have. And the curriculum that FBB's designed with Ian and with Lotta is changing these people's lives, their mental health, their just confidence and their self-esteem. It's massive. So FBB are doing a huge fundraising drive at the moment because they want to try and raise 100 grand by the Women's World Cup to support their work going forward. So yeah, massive.
Apparently did a private tour of the stadium.
Can I tell you something?
Which stadium?
The Tottenham Stadium.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it was we forgot to mention the event was at Tottenham Stadium. Yeah. But like, there were a few kids who wore Arsenal shirts. That was funny.
Which was, I thought was really good. And sign of times, because they weren't getting a lot of stick. they weren't getting a lot of stick.
No one in his first shirt, I have to say.
Can I be totally honest? I was walking around with my jaw on the ground because I've only been there twice. Last year was for the same event. And then back here, back this time, and then that wonderful guy, Alex, who obviously does a lot of the stadium management. And he just took us around, and I can't, this place is unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. It's like a spaceship. I played on the pitch as well, being in the changing rooms.
Nice.
Unreal.
The changing rooms, everything. It's like, we're in the future. You walk into there, to that stadium, we're in the future. The jealousy levels.
The Emirates is obviously nice, but this is crazy.
This is the new guy on the block, man. This is the new guy. This is the new kid. This is the youngest child. You know, this is the one. This is the one.
Shiny
where everybody,
new toy.
This is the shiny new toy. This is the one where everybody goes to see. Oh, let's do it like this.
It's so nice and it's so sincere, but it's also kind of just like
it's fucking.
Chris, have you been to Cowboy Stadium?
I have not. I will never.
See, that's what I'm saying.
They call it Jerry's
so
World.
With principles.
After
yeah,
the,
but the thing is
he still around the owner?
He's still
and that
leading
is,
that team to glory.
That is a wild.
I've never watched
a
game.
It's the closest I've seen to that.
I've never watched a game. I'd never watch a game with a fan in Tottenham. No, I wouldn't go there. I've never been to Tottenham. Before I started playing, I went to Tottenham and watched games. But like, since I was professional, never been to Tottenham. But like, I've been to that stadium. And like I said, that stadium is magnificent. But I won't go there to watch a game.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
And you call it that stadium.
That stadium. Yeah. That stadium. Which is magnificent.
We should probably wrap.
Let's wrap on Tottenham. Okay. Listen, guys, what can I say? Thank you, Ryan. Thank you very much, Flo Lloyd Hughes. Chris Ryan, can I say it's been an absolute pleasure, my friend.
Oh, man, it's an honor. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Listen, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you on Tuesday after this weekend. And it's been a brilliant week of football. And for me, honestly, can I just say Succession? If you're not watching it, watch it. Take it easy. See you Tuesday.
We're going to go and pre-grieve.
Pre-grieve.
episode is brought to you by Maybelline New York. Get ready to bring the heat with Maybelline's newest lip plumping gloss, Lifter Plump. Fair warning though, it's hot. Like, literally. It's formulated with chili peppers to bring a heated sensation and an instant plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Hot Honey, and more. Buy Lifter Plump now on Amazon and use the code 10PLUMP to get 10% off for a limited time. Tap the banner to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.